I hope I can hold on some minutes. So it's my pleasure to be here with you, and without any apology or excuse, there are a few reasons I'm here. First, when I decided and I signed for God's mission and ministry, so two things I had always to be prepared, to preach and to die. And all pastors know that. You have to be ready to preach, no matter if you prepare or not, and to die. And today we saw a missionary, yesterday, die. We are glad for him. He's in a better place. We are sorry for the loss of the family and a brother who could do more in our way of seeing. Amongst the other reasons I'm here, and again, it's not self-pity, but is a truth, especially in English and in here. By preaching to you, many of you realize, I can do better. I can speak better. I can preach better. I can preach deeper. I can put a lot of things I know, and I'm sure you can. My question is, why don't you do it? Because the field needs you. If the kingdom will only rest on some preachers like me or Pastor Paul, Derek Duane, and a few others, we will wait longer than we should. But if most of us would take, care of your gifts, and all of us start preaching the gospel as the early church did, the kingdom will increase. People will be saved. The church, there will be no room enough. We will face the same thing Diana showed with the kids. There will be crowd. There will be no way to go in. People has to find a way and maybe break the roof and bring people in. And that's one of the consequences of us taking our mission seriously. By talk about mission, just a heads up, in 2 weeks' time, or a week and a half time, Pastor Duane and I will talk, have a conversation about this topic of God's love. And maybe some of you can assign for that. And amongst all the other things we are offering, Wednesday night, we have in a series, not preached by me, I'm just the facilitator, but there are room. We are in 14, but there are room for many more. I wouldn't hurt me, I wouldn't feel sad if there are 20 or 30, because it can help new Christians, but especially can save souls. So if you know somebody, or if you are discipling somebody, if you know somebody that is in between or is not quite there or is close to there, maybe is even looking for a church or being baptized, this is a course that you can address. So with no further ado, let's read Mark 2, 1 to 12. And today I have a very little letter, so I have to come down here. I'm in the middle of renovation, and so I couldn't find my big letter Bible, so I'm going to try this one. So Mark 2, 1 to 12, you might have behind me. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no rooms left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, like we saw the drama, bring to him a paralytic carried by four men of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening to the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that?
he is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. All this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Heavenly Father, once more we pray, thanking you for the record of this gospel. We thank you for this story, the faith of the man, the situation that was beyond their capacity, and the way you saved, you healed this man. Talk to us, maybe with a word, a phrase, an idea. Change our hearts. Make us towards your will. Let us all be benefit of this message. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. And that's what we just heard about gospel, Mark gospel. Sin actually is our main problem as human beings. Many of us are still struggling with it. So today, my appealing or my message is not so much for your brain, your knowledge, your mind, but your heart, your soul, your insight. It entered in our life after the fall and has dominated us ever since. Nevertheless, we have to remember, God created us perfect. In a perfect world, the perfect God put us in a perfect place, and we had a perfect relationship with God and between ourselves. But one day, sin broke through our first fathers, Adam and Eve, and led by Satan and by our own their desire and disobedience, brought us all to be sinners. And sin has played then a big role in our lives up to today. We all were born in sin. We all, according to the Bible and Romans, said that we fall short of the glory of God. We were separated from the glory of God. Sin made us slaves, sick and dead. And let's not underestimate it. No matter if you are just born again a few months ago, or if you have some years with Christ, or maybe if you have decades with him, there is this thing called sin that always try to trap us, always try to defeat us, always try to play with us no matter what we are doing. If you rest in your sanctification, if you don't take seriously the word of God, if you don't pray all the time, if you don't consider the principles, the rule, the knowledge of the Bible, if you are not in a good relationship with God, you will fall. Sometimes with little mistakes, that's still sin, that separates for a while with the relationship with God, and sometimes can make a big problem in your life. But the good news of the gospel and the Mark, that Jesus came for this. Jesus is the remedy for sin. Jesus is able and is here right now to cleanse us from all our sins, even those who have been already cleansed. So Jesus' forgiveness is not only for when we came to him. That's the big thing, and you're saved. But we need Jesus every day to be cleansed. Otherwise, there will be a barrier for some while or for a big while. For instance, I'm without Elaine for almost 8 weeks. Hasn't been easy at all. Through this time, I asked some friends. Some friends blessed me with service. And we are putting the house in a little better way. Took the carpet. We have allergy. I have asthma. So it was time to take it off, put in laminate, and paint in the wall. So the house was a mess. The things had to be done. And I was telling Elio that has helped me. When constructions come, it's so hard to be so much devoted when you are not doing those things. And I now understand more what is to be a constructor or hard worker, because you work hard. And unless you wake up even 1 hour before or 4 a.m., that probably is difficult, how you keep your spiritual life is not easy. And I've been through that. So being not doing great lately, and I confess that's my sin, not doing as good as I should, I caught myself in a little mood, in a little, you know, not good spirit, and I was driving to Lima Ridge. And then, because I know Lima Ridge a lot and I knew where I should go, I was just going the way I used to go. And suddenly there was a full stop, but my mind read it wrongly. Like I could go and just go, wasn't for the others. I was in the middle and the guy was in this right, so he just kept going and I went through. But I should have full stop, like red sign. I didn't. I just saw and went. He was doing some signs that I didn't realize what he was doing. But I got annoyed. Like I said, I wasn't in my best performance. And I cannot forget who I am, Christian, pastor, missionary. But I was annoyed. So I decided, I always like this conversation, but when I'm in a good spirit, it's good. I wasn't. So I opened the window, and he opened, and I says, "What's wrong?" And then he said the right thing. He said, "You should have stopped." "I shouldn't. I have no stop sign." I said, "But you were in the right, and I was coming straight in the second line. What's wrong with that?" And then he starts swearing, saying bad things. So I just stopped there. And in my heart, I had to think what was wrong. I realized I was wrong. He was right, despite of his bad words. And I decided in my heart to look for this guy and apologize and ask his forgiveness. Do you want to know what is the outcome? Wait until the end, I will tell you. So we think sin is our big problem. Oh, sorry. Sin is our big problem, but sometimes we think our major problems are starvation of the world, yellow fever, AIDS, bad distribution of the wealth of the world, human traffic, prostitution, mental disease such as depression, anxiety, neurological disease such as Alzheimer, Parkinson, or other physical diseases as diabetes and others. Some of us, we may think our major problem, our human problem, are the problems related with the governments. If they were better, if they were faithful to God, if they were accounted to God, we would live in a better place. No doubt, we would. But there are evil ones, corrupted ones, authoritarian ones, wars, ISIS, terrorism, and so on. So, they are real. They are really threatened. They are immediate problems that should be addressed and faced. But they are all consequences of a big cause. And the big cause is sin. Something that is in the world, it's in us since we were born. So all of those things are reaction of an action. The outcome of rebelled society who stop listening to God and start giving ears to Satan. And Mark's gospel started at the very beginning saying that the beginning of the gospel in the chapter 1, verse 1, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark states at the beginning, this is the good news of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And later on, we're going to see that this title doesn't make him only the Son of God, but makes him God. Some people say with wisdom that we shouldn't start preaching to Muslim Gospel of Mark because it states Son of God. They don't believe God has Son, and they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God and is not God. I personally disagree. Because what is the difference of all religions is that Jesus is God. So I would state, right, oh yes, this is what we believe, and I respect you don't. But let's talk about it. And in here, we can see, even in the chapter 1, in the context of this text, that Jesus was in Capernaum before, his hometown. And here in this text says, again, he goes home. And in the first chapter, we see Jesus, after being baptized, starting selecting his disciples. So he was selecting. He was going to be his 12 and disciples to carry his mission. We see here he's cleaning a possessed man in chapter 1. We see Jesus healing Simon or Peter's mother-in-law. We see him, Jesus, healing and restoring a leprosy man to the society. He's cleansing his men. And actually, Mark ends up saying that after Simon's mother was healed, he also healed many sick and demon-possessed people with all sorts of demons and various diseases. So my proposition today is this. Jesus' mission and calling were revealed by his powers to forgive sins and save people from their eternal separation from God. Why did Jesus come? The answer is given by him. Which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal a paralyzed man? So sin was the main reason Jesus showed up, were born for, lived and died for, was raised from the dead, that the blind would see, the deaf would hear. So no matter what you think is important, wherever it is, whatever it is, if it's not this mission, this is going to be secondary. Lots of things are important. But this is was his agenda. This is what he came for. He came to deal with the sin of humanity. And by doing that, he would restore us to the relationship with God. He would recreate everything new. He would restore relationships between us, and we would take care, a better care of the earth. So Jesus came to that. But somehow, like the Jewish, every time we see a disease, every time things doesn't go well with our life, every time there is a mess around us, we're going to blame ourselves. We feel guilty about it. Well, with this text, we have to understand that despite of being your own mistake, despite of being a result of our own mess and things we do wrong, Jesus came to deal with it. Jesus came to offer forgiveness. Jesus came to restore relationship between each other and especially between us and him. And he wants to correct this mindset that somebody is sick because he has sinned. Sometimes can be true. It wasn't in this case. I won't go to the story. The story was well illustrated. There was a man paralyzed. He could not, move by himself. He was brought by these four friends. And because it was crowded, he was lowered to Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. He praised in one way by healing the man, but also doing what he was here for. He healed the man. So all the healing, all the cleansing, all the words he gave to people up to here and through the gospel had one main purpose: to restore man with God. If the healing was needed and was for the glory of God, he did it too. Sometimes in this case, to prove to the people who he was. So, like there, today, the word hasn't changed. The man has changed a bit. Jesus faced the same problems as we do today, maybe in different scales. Some were worse before, others are worse today, or different ways. In Jesus' day, the cities, big cities, not only the rural area, but Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, was big city, and they had problem, and they have all sort of inclinations. Rome, for instance, was known for their brutality and also their immorality. So there were diseases, there were poverty, there were sexual immorality, corruption, psycho and mental disorders. There were challenges there, they still here. Segregation, there, a lot. Guiltiness, all sorts of religious issues were there too. But Jesus teaches two actions that I want to share with you. First, Jesus showed us what really matters and what we are to do or what we are here for. Through this text, Jesus teaches two actions. First, he showed us what really matters, what we are to do. First verse says, people heard that Jesus came home. Second, they gathered in such a large numbers to hear Jesus teaching and healing. And then they were amazed. People were amazed about his reputation and what he has done before. So Jesus preached the word to them, and probably in a way the text says that nobody else would have done. Four men brought a paralyzed man to Jesus, believing he could heal him. So the guys had faith. Not all of them maybe, but these four had faith. They risked a lot. I don't know how much we risked for our friends that are unsaved, but they risked a lot. They invested their plan towards Jesus, high cost. We don't know what was it, but they were against the Pharisees, they were against the religious, they were exposing themselves to ridiculous. Have you ever been exposed to ridiculous? Once I was. I remember a friend who also was paralyzed. And we heard, and now I wouldn't bring him, but that time we didn't know who was who in North America. But we heard, Benny Hinn is coming to Londrina, and the guy is going to heal anybody, blind. So they were advertising for almost 6 months. Bring all the blind, bring the deaf, bring the paralyzed, bring all sort of people who are sick, and they're going to be healed. And this elder I had, he was paralyzed. He didn't want everybody knew. He was in wheelchair most of the time, and he could drive the car if that was like automatic. But he was paralyzed from his legs. So he says, Pastor, I don't want everybody knows, but did you hear about this guy is coming to Brazil? I say, yeah. So can you bring me there? And I did it. I said, if he asked, why not? Let's see. Let's give a try. So I went. Man, was packed, was crowded. There was no single room in that place that I could go in. Inside was packed. Outside, they said there was 15,000 people sitting around with big screams. That there is no parking lot ever closed. But the guy says, Pastor, we need to be close to him. I says, it's almost impossible, but I risked. I was pastor in a big church in that city, so I thought I, you know, had some kind of power. And I did use that. I came to the guy, the guard, I says, hey, it's not possible. There is no one single room to park the car. It can't be half an hour. This guy cannot walk. We have to be close. I have to go in. I have invitations to be actually close to the pulpit, because I'm a pastor of this conference too. He says, but there is only the governor's spot, car spot. I said, but the governor is already here? No, he hasn't. I said, oh, the thing has started 20 minutes, so no way, this is my spot. He says, go in. So I went. My frustration that we were in the first seat, but never nothing happened to him. And not to many, or maybe to nobody. Nobody, as far as I know, was healed. Because that was not Jesus there. It was Benihim. And he couldn't do much. Actually, he starts saying, if you came to see anybody healed, God is saying, nobody's going to be healed today. I said, well, wrong propaganda. They said 6 months before. Now you tell me that? Anyway, that was the thing. But sometimes you risk. We risk because we love. We risk because we have faith. We risk because we believe. In this kind of thing, we have no idea how much risk these guys took. Jesus saw their faith, though, and acted by saying to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. You see? Jesus came for this. Nothing else more important than this. He did all sorts of things just to prove, just to show who he was, just to make things in order. But he didn't come here for us to live here in this life forever. No. Unless he comes back, we're going to die. So he didn't come for this physical death, though he did some miracles on that. He doesn't want every blind or every deaf or mute to be healed. They were created for his own glory. But what he came for, that we can be forgiven and restored. So two things were at place here. The physical limitation of man, and also the mindset of the Jewish and the society, related the disease with the consequence of sin. So by healing the man, Jesus offered two services at once. He forgave his sin, the most important, that he reveals who he was, and also deals with the most problem of man. So I don't know which other moment was happier or happiest in my life than the day that was saved. Everything else changed in my life. These past days, one guy, friend, in the same time I was converted, there was five of us. We played in the group of the church, the worship. He found all five, and now we are connected WhatsApp almost 2 weeks ago. And we are kind of remembering what was going on that time. And for my surprise, I could remember who I was and what I became. They don't know, as myself don't know what they became. But everything we became was only because that first and most important action that Jesus did. He converted my heart. And I'm not ashamed to say, maybe I would be dead by this time. Maybe I would be in prison. Maybe I would be somebody who would be, you know, bad for the society. Because I wasn't raised Christian. I wasn't always looking nice. I was not a nice person in my 20s. And if you doubt, look to my kids, you may have an idea. When I see my kid, especially one of them, I see myself. I hate that. But as the same way God gave me some time to work out and to be saved, I have to be patient with my kid. When I see what God, how God tolerate Adam and Eve, God said for them not to disobey, but God didn't prohibit them or enable them to sin. So sin is possible. We may disagree and do whatever we want, but we're going to have the consequence. But that was the best day in my life. So sin is something we have to deal with in order. So if you are talking about evangelism, this is one of the main tasks of the church. As a church, we teach, we equip, we disciple. As follower of Christ, we have to find those who is going to be disciples of Christ, and they need to be saved. So, what we going to do about it? Application for us. As his children and people of God, we are here to offer forgiveness through Jesus. People are suffering. And I take care of one mental kit group, well, a task group with a lot of diseases. And I know, despite of all the symptoms we have, the main thing that has to be addressed is sin, is our soul, our spirit. So how are we going to offer? We are not here to blame. We are not here to accuse. Those are the work of Satan, and those are the Pharisees. We are not to judge, but to step in and make the difference. We could say, wow, you are paralyzed because you and your family have made a big mistake. That's why you are like that. Those four men didn't think like that. They brought the guy. So, we are here to facilitate, not to complicate things. People matters, no matter the circumstance. We are here to be like the four friends who risk their reputation and lives to bring people in the presence of God. Today I know, by taking that elder to that Benihin thing, now I know, but 30 years ago I didn't know. I risked my ordination and his too. So if we would know two Presbyterian guys are in the first seat of this guy, maybe today I would be in discipline for a while. Because they would say, no, it's wrong, it's heresy like that. But I risked because I was trying the benefit of my dear elder. We should not look obstacles, but to solutions. I know, and I've been there. Sometimes I avoided sinners. Sometimes I think I can't stay with this friend because he's so sinful, he's going to contaminate me. But who am I to do that? Jesus didn't do. Sometimes, Francis, I avoid some friend of us because I was not aware of, and I was not prepared. I was not strong enough to deal with their sins. So I chose to be away. But that's not what these friends did. This is not what Jesus have done. So I don't know if these guys had a roof company, probably not, or a safe kit. I don't know, Andrew, if they were, you know, firefighters trained to rescue people, probably not. I'm not sure if they followed the protocol. I don't know the regulations, if they knew the regulations of the place. But what we know, no matter if they were captors or not, able to replace or to pay back, they risked it and they did it because they believed Jesus could do. The only thing we know is that they dug in, they lowered the man to see Jesus. Jesus approved their action and praised them in one way. Specifically, Jesus rewarded them by healing the man spiritually and physically. And as church, we can offer it through Jesus Christ. As church, we are to be friends of the corner of this town. As a church, we should suffer with those who suffer. We should struggle with those. Don't think it's easy for me to be most of the time with those who are not able to think straight like you do. It wasn't my way in Brazil. In Brazil, I was shepherding a middle-class church, high-educated people. I always talk to kids who could, like the kids here. He can talk so bravely, you know. And, but I tell you, in some of my ministries, people can't say that. You read one thing and says, what did you understand? They say something, my mother-in-law. Says, but where did you find that? No, I'm just telling what case, a tale. Let's go back. So sometimes it's not easy. But there is the place I should be because they need it. It's necessary. So Jesus approved the action. Jesus was there to heal. Jesus, like these friends, he saw the struggle and he stepped in. They paid the price and Jesus rewarded them. So our appreciation, our reward, our appraisal will be seen right now in the way that Jesus would change reality. So if you and I work for him, we're going to see great things. I asked the Lord, what should I preach? I'd rather prefer to preach revival. That's what I was studying for. But maybe we are not there yet. Maybe we should bring more people. Maybe we should consider our hearts if you are right to receive the revival of God. So Jesus showed us what really matters. And secondly, Jesus prioritized salvation and goes beyond. So he first addressed the main problem. So Jesus started where the real problem was, spiritual heart disease. Jesus knows that humanity problem is in his own heart. Jesus knows people's mind and heart as well. He knows who comes to listen and learn, who comes to test and criticize him. He's able, as Son of Man and Son of God, to do that, the text says. Knowing what they were thinking, he says what he says. Or he does what he does. Jesus searched people's heart, intention, and thoughts. He does address all that by doing right, but also by revealing his ideas. He knew that the Jewish would bring together disease and sin. So Jesus is trying to correct that. The religious people were curious about his method of healing, but not expecting him to forgive sins. In one way, they were right. How can he say that? Only God can forgive sins. And that's why he said that, because he is God. So when you go around, you're not alone. When you talk to a Muslim, to a Sikh, to an atheist, to someone who has all sort of behavior, lifestyle that's against God, when you try to correct, when you try to encourage, when you try to bring this person to him, you have to remember, you are with Jesus. You're not alone. You are not alone. So don't be ashamed of the gospel and the power of the gospel. Don't feel shy to tell the truth. Even though you don't know much, you don't need to preach. Just say the word. Just say the name. Just say who can help these people. So Jesus is the Son of God, and he can do that. He can change hearts, thoughts. And he knew what they were thinking. The religious were right in one way and wrong by saying he's blaspheming. And he would if he was not the Messiah and the Son of God, the anointed king, and as such he could do that. Only God can forgive sins because we sin against him. So Jesus could do it. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Son. And God was forgiving people's sin through Jesus and what he does today. So he does that. He healed the man to show to them that he's able to do what they think is more difficult. And then he healed the man, proving that he is God. So no one can forgive sins but God alone. And this is what Jesus did. He healed the man, he cured the man, and the people were amazed and praised God by saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Have you ever seen somebody being forgiven and born again? This is one of the greatest moments I have seen. You may have seen some healings. I have seen. Probably you have been healed. I have been healed twice or three times in my whole life, physically, really healed. Elaine has been healed before coming to Canada. She was not being approved by the doctors because she had some kind of tumor in her uter. So the government could not give somebody to come to Canada if you are not physically able because you're going to cost a hip. So the best doctor that was also Christian, he saw that. He said, "Oh, she needs surgery to take all that, and she will need a big treatment." So we were prepared even not to come to Canada, but we were praying and praying and praying. And then the last day when she was going to surgery, in the same day, he says, "Let's do another exam." And what he found out? All gone. Not always things happen like that.
But God had a purpose. She was healed. And actually says, Eleni, now you have a uterus of a 14-year-old girl. So be careful, you can be pregnant anytime. I said, well, unless I die, because I have done the surgery too. So I don't hope I die and be a widow, and then she, you know, she can marry someone else. So she cannot be pregnant, but she's healed. Jesus can heal, but the best healing he can operate is salvation. So, you and I should offer to others Jesus' healing. You and I should be able, as people of God, to see a person as they are, mind, soul, and spirit. You and I should suffer with those who suffer spiritually, physically, and emotionally, and we should be ready to address it. We should offer prayers. Sometimes we give the card of our doctors before anything else, but we don't pray. And sometimes when we listen to people, we are thinking of our problems, we are thinking, oh, when this talk is going to end, I'm late. But that's what we should stop, listening to people's stories and see how we can help. Following Jesus' example, we have to look at beyond. Sometimes you have to go beyond. The four guys went beyond. Jesus' healing didn't stop in the healing. He went beyond. He did forgiveness of sins and he healed the man. Sometimes he had to carry a conversation. Sometimes he had to put his life like he did for the disciples 3 years. And they denied him in the last moment. Even after when he was to prison, they knew Jesus almost 3-4 years, and they all denied him. But Jesus went beyond. Jesus prayed beyond, otherwise nobody would be saved. Not even his disciples would be stand. So our ultimate goal is salvation. So I encourage you to think about it. There are losses. There are hunger. There are people depressed. There are lack of hope. Some people, they might come from horrible experience in their family. And that's what we should be ready for. Go beyond. Go the second mile. Listen someone's stories a little further. Make appointment and go and talk to people. Sometimes it's yourself. Sometimes you know what Jesus can do, but you still think, no, but I can't. He can't forgive me again because I have done this so many times. Maybe it's the money issue. For instance, when they speak about the campaign, when they speak about the tithe, when they speak about the church, and you may think, oh, but I haven't been faithful to God last year. Now it's too late. It's never too late. Ask forgiveness and start doing right today. Start making your best today. Maybe you want to give something else. Okay, for God. God, I haven't given you the best of my money. And I know how much I owe you, but I can't pay. So give what you can and go from there. I haven't been nice to my wife. Ask forgiveness and start correcting what you say. And maybe in evangelism, you haven't shared the gospel. It's time to do it. It's never too late. Concluding, you and I are here to understand that Jesus is able to heal and to save. And we are here to understand that Jesus can go much beyond our own understanding. We all be judged, and unless we have the blood of Jesus, would be condemned. But as Christians, we also need to be forgiven time to time. We should repent. John Piper, in one of his reflections, he said, it sounds like a joke, but maybe it's not. He said, John Piper said, God is going to take his own gadget and he's going to look. Okay, let's see, Marcio. You're saying you didn't have time to pray half an hour a day. You didn't have time to read the Bible as you should. You didn't have time to be my witness. You didn't have time to share the gospel. Okay, let me see how many time you spend in Facebook.
Facebook can tell you, so God can. How many times you spend Instagram? How many times in this or that entertainment? So John Piper said, well, man, in the judgment day, even for Christian, he's going to pull up his own thing and say, you said you didn't have time to pray, but you spent this hundred of hours or thousand of hours in Facebook. Some of us here, maybe some of us in this preaching say, oh, I know that. Let me see who is in the Facebook. And he says, God is going to bring it up. The thing is, God can forgive us, can forgive others, and can forgive us. He knows our struggle. He knows our tears. He knows our cries. He knows our fight. Jesus is aware of the consequences that we are carrying as a result of a lot of things. So first, not only for others, but for us and others, he's here to offer you forgiveness. He's here to release. He's here to lighten your burden and exchange yours for his. He's here not to condemn us, but maybe to warn us. When I say about Facebook and other stuff, we all are subject to that. But this is not to condemn, it's to warn us, to reflect, to reduce. He's here to offer salvation and peace. Jesus has the power, remember, over sickness, but he also has power to forgive sin, enables to relate with God in a harmonious way. The group can come and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, this is so simple text. This is the base of our faith. But this is the main agenda you came for. All of us is still dealing with this consequence of sin. We all have a fallen nature, a sinful nature, as some of us have the new nature, but we're still struggling. And unless we feed our new nature more, our spirit more, our soul more, we're going to be defeated. Like Martin Luther once said, if he didn't pray 3 hours a day, he would be defeated by Satan. And we are not close to that. So help us to pray longer. Help us to read your Bible. Help us to understand your main agenda that is still the most important, even when the world doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in hell or heaven. Help us to understand without Christ, there is no salvation and people are condemned. We thank you for this example that despite of acting and performed a great miracle, the most need of that man was to be forgiven. And so for us and for others we know. Help us to be clean and forgiven. Help others to be forgiven using us as a tool. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.